For a business to be around for more than 50 years, you know they must be doing something right. At D&H Drugstores, something right has always been service, convenience, trust, qualities that build lasting relationships. D&H has been a part of this community for so long because D&H cares about so much more than just filling prescriptions. It's about our family taking care of your family since 1956. D&H Drugstore, your family drugstore, on Broadway at West Boulevard and on Paris Road in the Haithman Village Shopping Center, Columbia.
Welcome to Radio Friends on this Monday, January 23rd. Can you believe we're that far in the month already? 23rd day of January. Let's start, first of all, with Ann Hackman. Ann is with MU Healthcare. Welcome to Radio Friends, Ann.
Thank you.
And you're here to tell us about the DAISY program. What is the DAISY program?
This is an exceptional program. It's actually an international award that recognizes our nurses. Uh-huh. It was started back in 2000 by the family of a patient who suffered from Hodgkin's disease and then also developed a blood disorder and was in the hospital for 8 weeks. And during that time, they were so impressed with the care that Patrick received that they decided to start a foundation
and create this award.
It was not. This was in Seattle.
Okay.
So this is, again, an international program. It's called the DAISY Award because that stands for Diseases Affecting the Immune System, which is what Patrick Barnes had. Mm-hmm. Now, what makes this so exciting is that that program has grown from 2000 until this last December. They had over 1,000 hospitals participating in the program. MU Healthcare adopted this last fall. Because we were so impressed with the Barnes family and everything that they stood for. We have the pleasure tomorrow of the Barnes family coming here to Columbia mm-hmm. to award a DAISY award to one of our nurses.
Oh, how wonderful.
So we are so excited.
How wonderful.
It's a wonderful, wonderful program. What we've done is we have a group of nurses who decide who gets the award. So they're peers. Mm-hmm. They're nominated by physicians and patients and families. And we get about 30 nominations a month, and we've given out 3 awards so far.
Yeah.
So it's just a very special program.
You know, that is so wonderful because nurses are really unsung heroes. They work so hard, give so much of themselves to a patient. And I saw that firsthand day in and day out when my mother was in the hospital. How wonderful the nurses were. And so many times the nurses will go above and beyond the call of duty. And they're so overworked also.
That's right. It's a tough job.
So
we much appreciate our nurses. That's true.
Yes.
Well, some of the things that our nurses have done, we had a mother from a neonatal intensive care baby that said that her nurse was her guardian angel. She was the one, this was our nurse, that said, gave her all the details about the baby growing up that the mother missed because the baby had to be in intensive care. Mm-hmm. So just knowing those little things, it just gets to the heart of being a mom.
Yeah.
So that's just very special.
That's very, very nice. Yeah. And to salute the nurses. And
that's
I know how special nursing is.
They are. We're very proud of our nurses. You know, what else is really neat about this achievement award is that the family, one of the things the nurse receives is a serpentine sculpted a statue of a healer. Mm-hmm. And these are done by a tribe in Zimbabwe. And the money that the Barnes family pays the tribe really supports them economically. Mm-hmm. So by virtue of awarding this to a nurse, they're also then economically supporting a very suppressed area. And
yeah.
So it's just a beautiful, beautiful way to symbolize the
care. Thank you for sharing that information
thank
with
you.
Us.
Thank you. My
really
pleasure.
I really appreciate it. And congratulations to the nurse who wins the
DAISY Award.
Congratulations to that nurse.
I'll
and we salute all of them because all of the nurses work so hard to take care of patients. And they really are on the front line.
They're
on the front line.
Yeah, they do a great job.
Will you
thank
tell them
you
how
so
much we appreciate them?
I
also?
Absolutely will. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ann Hackman, MU Healthcare, the DAISY program. Now, I turn to Mari Scala Welcome to Radio Friend, Mari. And you're here to talk about Literacy Action Corps.
I am.
What do you want to share with our audience?
Well, I'm here to talk about the fact that we are recruiting new tutors, and we're going to be providing a tutor training class starting on February 25th.
An organization about a month from now.
Yeah. We're an organization that provides free literacy tutoring to anyone who comes to us and needs that. We work with both adults who need basic literacy skills and adults who need English language proficiency.
So you are looking for people to volunteer as tutors. What do they need? What are the qualifications that you're looking
for? Well, basically, we look for people who are able and willing to work with literacy skills with one individual. Our motto is each one, teach one. So your responsibility is just to one person.
Any education level?
Any education level. We do ask, we only work with adults. We frequently get that question. So they have to be 18 or older.
An adult being the tutor.
An adult being the tutor and an adult being the student.
Okay.
So, and basically, if they have the confidence that they are proficient enough in English to help others, then we help provide skill training
to read and
materials.
Write. You're helping someone to learn to read and write.
Read and write, and in the case of English language learners, to speak and understand. Many of our English language students have other languages very proficiently, but aren't able to speak English proficiently. And so we do a lot of conversation partner
now,
type
does,
work.
Now, does the person who is trying to teach a student to speak English, do they need to speak the language of the student?
That's a very good question, and the answer is no.
You do not have to.
You do not have to speak any language than English.
Well, then how are you going to communicate with that person?
Well, it's amazing what you can do. Very few of our students start out with absolutely no English.
No English, right.
Yeah. So, but sometimes we start at a very basic level. But it's amazing how people can learn to communicate.
Where there is a will, there's a way.
That's right.
Yeah.
And we provide skills training. We provide tips and techniques that allow a person to help someone who speaks another language become more proficient in English. Believe me, my students have both been from South Korea, and I speak no Korean other than the few words that they've taught me. So.
And you were able to teach them to speak English.
Mm-hmm.
Did you teach them to write and read also?
Yes. Now, in the case of many of our students, they come with the ability to read and write some English because they've been taught in their own school system to do that. But it's classroom instruction, and they don't always have instructors who know how to speak English.
Right.
So they may be able to conjugate verbs better than I can.
That makes a difference. It's almost like the intensive English program with the university, where it's one-on-one.
That's right.
And it makes a difference when you're speaking to someone.
That's absolutely right.
If people want to volunteer, or they want more information, what should they do?
We have a phone number with an answering machine. It's 442-4280.
442-4280.
And we'll return the call, or go to our website, which is literacyactioncorps.org.
Okay. Mari, thank you so much for coming by, and I hope you get a lot of response.
Thank you.
All right. We're out of time for today. Joan Stack, State Historical Society, is our guest tomorrow. Program directed by Travis McMillan of the Reynolds Journalism Institute. Audio, Pat Akers from KBIA. Our flow director is Will Claggett, and our assistant producer and guest coordinator, Uncle James Mauser. See you tomorrow. Bye-bye.